Welcome to a special podcast episode of the Collaboration for Healthier Lives Coalition of Action at the Consumer Goods Forum. The mission of the CHL Coalition is to empower people to live healthier lives while creating shared value for business and communities. And we do this by focusing on consumers, both in-store and digital, and of course, on employee health and well-being. Today, we will look deeper into workforce wellness, more specifically, how companies need to look within at their own employees' health and wellness. We will talk about workforce nutrition and discuss how the mental health of employees is linked to nutrition. I am joined today by Christina Nihlis-Dillon, Senior Manager at the Global Alliance for Improved Nutrition, and Erin Boyd-Kappelhoff, Co-CEO of Eat Well Global. So let's jump right in with a very basic question. What exactly does well-being mean? And for our audiences, could you define the broader context of well-being in the workplace and why is it important? Over to you, Christina.
Thanks, Zoe, and thanks for inviting us. Happy to be here. So in terms of well-being, there are, I think, various definitions of well-being, but it's increasingly defined to be more holistically, to not just include physical and mental health, but also social, financial, and emotional well-being. In workplaces, it could also encompass occupational health and safety. I think well-being in the workplace is really important because for employers, there are benefits on productivity, on social engagement, and inter-staff communication, and also on job performance generally. And we know that good nutrition is an important part of physical, but also mental and emotional health.
Absolutely. And what's new is that well-being in the workplace is really being reframed. It's shifting from something companies kind of think of as activities that are considered maybe extra benefits or something designated as an HR department issue to something that's a bit less siloed or compartmentalized. Workplace well-being has now really caught the attention of entire companies and is being seen as something much more vital to the day-to-day operations.
That definitely makes sense. And now with the current context of companies getting their employees back to office, how can employees feel supported with regard to their health and well-being?
Well, it's coming from a lot of different angles. And Eat Well Global is no different. We've had so many challenges the last few years. Getting back to work means changing norms, challenging those norms. Movements that have already started are now being accelerated. Things like autonomy, flexibility, and mental health. We're lucky in some ways at Eat Well Global because we have an entirely virtual workforce. We have from the beginning, even before COVID. So we didn't need to build in a remote working culture in the same way that many others did. But at the same time, well-being still became increasingly important with the stress of this current climate that we're experiencing. So COVID, the Ukraine war, increased attention to those long-standing social justice issues going on in the world. So that, coupled with our own rapid business growth as a company, and we happen to be in an intense industry, the consulting industry, we knew that we really needed to address well-being and build it into our culture a bit more intentionally.
And if I might add kind of more from a global perspective, it's catching a lot of attention, even outside of worksite. So earlier this year, the World Health Organization launched a report citing how the COVID pandemic resulted in a 25% increase in anxiety and depressive disorders. And most of this burden is seen among women and youth. That report also showed that a $1 investment in mental health programs can result in a $4 return in employee productivity. So companies should care about this issue for their bottom line, but also, of course, if they care about their workforces and their employees. More and more workers are demanding better mental health support in their workplace, and good employers who want to find and retain good workers are finding that they need to provide more support.
It seems that more employees seem to understand that their well-being at work should not only be a priority for themselves, but also for their company. It's a win-win for both. So let's talk a bit more about mental health in the workplace. It seems natural that nutrition and mental health go hand in hand, but what exactly is the science behind it and how are they linked? Christina?
So your mental and emotional health affect your diet, and your diet affects your emotional and your mental health. We know that food and what you eat affects your mood, your energy levels, and in the short and long term, both. So some of the research has shown that diets which are dominated by fresh fruits and vegetables that regularly include fish whole grains, low-fat dairy, and olive oil are associated with lower rates of depressive disorders. And inversely, diets that include high intakes of red or processed meats, refined grains, sweets, high-fat foods, and low intake of fruits and vegetables are associated with an increased risk of depression. So the good news is that we know what we can do about it, at least to contribute to reducing this mental health burden. And in general, as with so many other things, in this case, it's harder to treat depression, but it's much easier to prevent it, or at least support preventing it through contributing to good nutrition. And an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So advice to employees is don't wait until you think your employees need the support in addressing their well-being. Just assume they do. So the good news is that we can contribute to reducing this mental health burden through addressing diets. In general, with so many other things, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So we can contribute by really supporting workers in addressing good nutrition in the workplace. I just want to say, it goes without saying that obviously there are a lot of connections between nutrition and mental health, especially when you look at basic nutrition or food security. So someone's ability to even have enough food, let alone it being highly nutritious and affordable, has severe consequences on mental health and stress. Many of our workers in our supply chains, in manufacturing plants and farms, they're really increasingly struggling with basic nutrition for themselves and their families, given the current food crisis and the aftershocks of COVID. So it's no surprise that the mental health burden is really on the rise everywhere.
Thank you for that, Christina. What exactly are the trends that Gain has heard from companies? What exactly are companies working towards with regard to mental health in the workspace?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Well, in our close collaboration with the Consumer Goods Forum and their members, we understand that mental health is actually the biggest priority for employers today. And many are really taking action, which is good news. There is a recognition of the more holistic approach to employee well-being programs beyond just physical health. There is increasing attention to raising awareness within the workplace on mental health, trying to reduce the stigma on mental health disorders. More and more, they're providing support services to employees and focusing on reducing work-related stress. What we aren't yet seeing, and of course we'd like to see, is this appreciation of the role diet can have on preventing and addressing mental health disorders. Some companies are talking about it, but not enough of them.
And Erin, how does this issue of mental health at the workplace, how does it tie into talent recruitment? Because as I understand now, companies do seem to be having an issue retaining and maintaining talent. So how does this issue tie into that?
Absolutely. We are hearing this a lot from many of our clients, that employers are just increasingly challenged with recruiting and retaining that talent. And that's one of the reasons why well-being at work is having this bit of a moment, if you will. But I think the silver lining is that it's becoming, or hopefully it will become, more of a permanent shift.
Thank you so much for sharing. And this is a special last question for our listeners. What are the first steps that companies can take to work towards effective workforce nutrition programs?
One of the important things is that progressive benefits really just won't be appreciated unless those fundamentals are there in the first place. So for example, if a team is too overworked to take advantage of a well-being or workforce nutrition offering, or if workers are not paid a living wage, employers can't make up for that with a wellness day. If psychological safety isn't protected, an employer-sponsored mindfulness app really won't help. So it's important to look at those progressive benefits as something separate from the holistic approach to well-being. At Eat Well Global, we're doing a few things simultaneously, and we are still very much figuring it out and navigating this journey ourselves. One of the things we're doing is a well-being landscaping. We are getting ready to launch this initiative to find out really what is most meaningful to our team, our individual team. In the meantime, we have launched an initiative to define healthy boundaries and set commitments as a company around boundaries. So this is looking at how do we set boundaries for ourselves as individuals, how we work with one another as a team, and also with our clients, which is no small thing for a consulting company. And then we also do have additional wellness and well-being benefits as well. For example, we have a well-being stipend where team members can use that for a benefit of their choice. We offer a volunteer benefit now where our team can spend 1 week a year during their working time doing volunteer service work in their community. Even this week, later on, we are testing out an initiative where a small group of us here in Amsterdam are doing a breathworks session where we can try out new areas of well-being to see what works for us. And of course, we have our own workforce nutrition benefit, which workforce nutrition is important for many different reasons across geographies and work settings, and it looks differently in different companies. In some places, the food that's served at work is a significant contributor to daily intake. In other places, it's an opportunity to just help employees make better choices day to day. So we, as a virtual company, we're comprised of mostly nutritionists and dietitians. We understand nutrition, but we're still human. So making it easier to make healthy choices is something that we wanted to offer to our team. So we created a benefit, which includes a subscription to a produce delivery service so that people on our team can just have an easy access to fresh fruits and vegetables during the week.
That's great, Erin, all that you're doing for your employees. It sounds great. And we agree with all of your comments in terms of workforce nutrition. If I can just go back to kind of the Workforce Nutrition Alliance and our collaboration with Consumer Goods Forum, we define workforce nutrition under four pillars. So healthy food at work, nutrition education, health checks, and breastfeeding support. And they all have links to mental health. We've talked a lot about healthy eating so far. So making healthy foods more available in your work site. It doesn't have to be free, but it just needs to be more available. Providing support on education around the link between healthy eating and mental health is something else that employers can do. And then if you offer health checks, offer a wider gamut so that they include mental health checks and offer some counseling that might include dietary counseling. And then finally, something we haven't really talked about but is closely linked to nutrition is a woman's ability, of course, to return to work and continue to breastfeed, which many women struggle to do when they change their working patterns. So helping them reduce their stress and anxiety by supporting their intentions to breastfeed and provide the best nutrition to their infants. It might not seem like a lot, but you can start with small steps and see how your employees react to the support you offer. And I'm sure they'll let you know what matters most to them.
Thank you both so much for sharing what your organizations are actually doing with regard to nutrition, mental health, and providing these very useful tips and tricks for organizations to start small and actually work with their employees to improve their health and well-being. Thank you for listening to this special podcast episode from the CGF Collaboration for Healthy Lives Coalition of Action. Thanks very much to Christina and Erin from the Global Alliance for Improved Nutrition and Eat Well Global for joining us today. At the CGF, 2023 is geared up to be a big year for well-being, so stay tuned. And of course, you can learn more about the work of the Workforce Nutrition Alliance on our website, workforcenutrition.org. Thank you and goodbye.